Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are together, and everything between us is good. I'm riding this cloud, baby, ready to fly, but
welcome back, everyone. We've been on vacation for 2 weeks, and welcome to Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. Tonight, we're talking about getting your mojo back to navigating the tides of dating. Yeah, that whole thing that makes everyone afraid and they're not sure of that first step. I want to say hello and welcome to everyone. We are sad to say that Janet Hurd had some prior engagements, and she won't be with us tonight, and she won't be with us for a minute. She has a schedule change. So we're sorry to lose her, but we wish her the best in her endeavors of what she has to do. Mm-hmm. But we will be having Amy Shell Grogan, as usual, and Miss Guy Vaughn, and I am Minister Dupree Aldridge. We want to welcome everyone. We want to tell you how this works. If you're here for the first time, we give out area codes and last four digits so that we can recognize who you are and be able to identify you. You can give your real name. You can give a pseudonym. But we do want you to know that this is a safe space, and we respect everything that everyone is saying. You don't have to agree, but you must be respectful. So we're in a new season. It's fall, and we're going to talk about navigating in the tides of dating and how you get your mojo back. Hi, Sky.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Missed you guys. So tonight we want to talk about, and what we like to do, or what I would prefer, is to have my audience speak more and ask more questions rather than have us to just talk at you. That makes for a better conversation. But we understand that some of you like to warm up, so we'll give you a moment, but we expect you to get involved. So we're talking about how hard yet, but how easy it is to take that first step of getting back into the dating scene when you're really ready to get back into that scene, because what makes it hard is that you're not ready and you're not sure. So we want to talk about how to get your mojo back when you've been out of the waters and you're trying to get back in and swim. Sky, I'm going to let you open up the show tonight, and let's jump right in.
When you put the topic out, I thought a lot about it. It's a couple of things. I'm one going through it right now, and I also have a program that I do called Finding Your Flow, And one of the modules in the program is getting your mojo back. These are women in midlife. My target audience are women in midlife, and my program is about getting your mojo back. But what I find is the longer you're out of commission, the harder it is to get back in, is what it seems. It also depends on the circumstance as to why you were out. Some people, they break up. They just want to take time to themselves. In my case, my partner transitioned. So that's another factor that you have to consider and everything that goes with that. And then some people actually take one friend called it a sabbatical, where she just didn't date at all for almost 5 years. You know, she went on a spiritual quest, and then she wanted to jump back in. So I find with each one of those, it's different, and the reasons for getting back out there and how they do it is different as well, because they're coming from different mindsets and going back into the dating world. So there's a lot of areas to cover here tonight, and I'll be interested to hear what the audience has to say about it.
Yeah. I agree with what you were saying, because what happens is that I just came off of a cruise with about 1,400 women, so you can imagine all of the things that you had an opportunity to see and be privy to and just sit back and watch. And there are different groups. There are virgins, which means it's your first time going on the cruise. There are solos, which means they're not there with a partner, they're single. And then there are couples. So it was a hodgepodge. And there are even, this was a lesbian cruise, so there are even heterosexual women on this cruise with their friends and parents and siblings and so on and so forth. So it was a hodgepodge of people. And just to watch everyone interact and watch people maneuver, or watch people have a desire to get into maneuvering and even get up the nerve to step up to someone, was extremely interesting. And so that's what made me bring this show out tonight, because I got an opportunity to see a lot, and I found it interesting, and I also saw a lot of fear and people feeling like they just didn't have what it took to get back in. So we're going to open the floor up to take questions first, and then Sky and I will talk a little more. And A. Michelle, are you out there? A. Michelle hasn't called in yet. Okay. Any questions or any statements?
Yes, I have one. It's a question kind of feeding off of what Sky just said. The last four digits of my number are 4088. And you spoke, I believe, Minister Dupree, of fear. But don't you think that it's probably more difficult for people, let's say, that are 40 and over? It's more difficult for that age bracket than it is for, let's say, you know, your 20 and 30-year-olds?
Is that a question to either one of us?
Yes, either one of you, yes.
What do you say, Sky?
I personally don't think so. Like I said, I'm at that place now where I'm considering it, and I don't feel anything I don't feel anything holding me back as far as my age. It's just, am I really ready to get back into that at this point is where I'm at. But I don't think that's a factor. I think if you're going for, if you're 45, 50, and you're going for a 20-year-old, that might be. But I think if you're in your age range and you're out there, mm-hmm. I don't see that as a factor personally.
And I agree with what Sky just said. I think that even younger people within their age range, they experience the same things. We as individuals think that life differs greatly depending on our age, depending on our sex, depending on, you know, a whole bevy of things, and it really doesn't. If you are a little timid about stepping out there, if you're not an aggressive type of person, or if you're not absolutely completely assured of yourself, you know, you're going to struggle no matter what your age is, and because you always run that risk of rejection. And for some people, rejection is personal. For some people, rejection just makes them work harder. So it depends on who you are. But no, I don't think it has anything to do with age.
Yeah, what I'd like to add to that is, I just wanted to add one thing to that is, when you're 40 plus, I'm just going to go with that, 40 plus, you are dating for different reasons than a 20-year-old, so to speak. You are more aware of the things that you have, what you're trying to share. You should be more aware of what you're looking for in a partner. Compatibility is more important. I think as we get older, we look more for compatibility because a lot of times we're not looking for a relationship for the moment. A lot of times we're looking for something that we're going to have into our later years and so forth. And you have to be, I would think, just a little bit more selective with who you choose or who you're looking for that. So that's a difference. And in that sense, it's going to take a little bit more time maybe to get to know the person and know who they are, what they're about, before bringing them into your space.
Okay, thank you. Can I piggyback another question on that?
Sure.
I believe one of you guys mentioned being somewhat timid. And if you are that person that is not very aggressive, you tend to like to be approached and you don't like to do the approaching, what advice would you have for that individual?
I would say that sometimes they will say that a closed mouth doesn't get fed. And sometimes you end up having your time and your space occupied with, because they're the aggressive person and they're the ones doing the approaching, with someone you may not want to be spending time with. And the person that you may want to spend time and you feel a spiritual connection to, your energy is speaking to one another, may be just as timid and as shy as you are. And I would say at some point or another, you got to dip your toe into the water to test to see at least if your foot can go in completely. You know, you have to be willing, as timid as you may be, and as much as you would like to be approached by others, sometimes you may have to take that slight little dip to put your big toe in the water and make sure it's warm and it's not too hot for you. If it's nothing more than just a simple hello, that may start someone else to pick up that ball and go further with you. But a hello can do a lot.
And I like to add, depending on how you flow, if you're a social media person, you have to be a little creative. If you're timid, you just need to be a little bit creative. You might join a couple of groups that are interesting to you where you might find a like-minded person. And just observe and, you know, start commenting. And if you see someone, you know, just kind of develop a conversation, you know, through that and see where that takes you. If you're social media, if not, if you're a religious person and you're going to church, maybe visit another church and just kind of pay attention to who you're talking to. And you like the minister said, you're going to have to put your toe in the water at some point. There are there's something here in D.C. that happens. I don't go. I used to go a couple of years ago, where you can do game nights or something like that at your house. A lot of people here do that. And it's a way of meeting people and getting to be friends first, and then you just move from there. So it's a lot of different ways you can be creative and just kind of test the waters.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anyone else out there have anything they might want to add or any questions they may have? Okay, let's talk a little bit about this whole notion of getting your mojo back. Sky, would you say that we actually ever lose our mojo? Or would you say we kind of pack it away?
I think we pack it away. Like I said, I think the longer you are away from things, you know, the more chance you have of actually losing it. I've experienced people who I've counseled who have been out of commission for years. Just literally years, and it's very hard. They've gotten used to being home and not being with anybody, things like that, so it's really harder for them to pull it out. But then I think most people, it just lies dormant sometime, and again, it depends on what you went through. If it's a bad relationship, if it's a death or something like that, where you're just really having to heal, you have to work on coming back from that first, and you get to a point of, okay, you start healing from that and feeling better, and you just move from there. You have to really. There's a lot of things. If it is about healing, you have to work on healing, and then you go from there. You have to move through that first, you know, to get that mojo back. But there are a lot of ways to do it. But you have to pay attention to why you lost it in the first place, and then move from that space and move forward.
One of the things that we talk a lot about on this show is taking your time and really getting to know one another, and we're advocates, big advocates of dating. And I think it's the perfect time to be able to discover more about yourself while you're dating in the process, and also an opportunity for you to discover who the individuals are that are of interest. And we also believe in you presenting your authentic self from the start and not bringing a representative, especially if the representative has no intention of staying for the long haul. It just keeps it all clean and simple and honest and fresh. And you want someone to see you, to see who you are, and to really accept and experience and love, learn to grow and love you. So don't bring a representative of someone you believe that the person may be interested in. It's more important to bring you and who you are. And that's we're big proponents of that authenticity and being honest and dating for long periods of time. To get to know one another. And the older you are, the more inclined you are to take your time to do those kinds of things because, as Guy stated, you're in it for a different reason, or at least most of. Most older people are in it for a different reason. Some people are still doing what they were doing at 20 and they're 60. So it depends on who you are and your growth and your maturation. Do we have any other questions or any statements out there? Today we're talking about getting your mojo back to navigate in the tides of dating. I see you guys out there. You're just sitting in silence.
Well, I have a question. I guess I'm asking for an opinion. If you're just stepping out there again, and again, I'm speaking of someone that's 40 plus, on the dating scene and trying to, so to speak, get your mojo back, would you recommend dating more than one person, or would you just recommend trying to date one person?
Sky.
I recommend just getting out there and meeting people. I think it'll all come together. To go into something and say, I just want to get that one person and that's it. If you haven't been out there, I don't know how that's going to, unless you have someone in mind already, then you can work that and go that direction. But if there's no one in mind, it's going to have to be, you just go out there and you meet people and you see where things fall as far as who's the friend, who do you want to go further with. But I would think it would be more than just one person. Like I said, unless you have an individual in mind. If you have a couple of individuals in mind, I would recommend just get to know both of them and see, you know, what feels the best for you over time. Like the minister said, instead of rushing into something, take your time and really just kind of get to know people. And then that one person will fall in place and be that one. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I had someone who wrote behind the scenes, and one of the things they were saying is that they run into a lot of women who are not in, per se, quote-unquote, relationships. They're just seeing someone, and they're dating on the scene, and they were kind of frowning upon that whole thing. But as long, I personally believe, that as long as they're being honest and upfront with you, and they tell you what it is that they're doing, which gives you the option to decide whether or not you're interested in becoming one of the people that will be occupying their time, there's nothing wrong with it, because the only way they're going to figure out who and what is right for them is if they're going out, and I call it hanging out. I don't call that part dating. If they're not hanging out with multiple people. I think when you start using the word dating, you've moved from the I'm just feeling my way out to saying I'm starting to narrow my way down. And so I'm very particular about my word choice. So in what we were just talking about, and I won't speak for Sky, I'll speak for me, what I was talking about, I'm talking about hanging out. You know, I went through a period where I wasn't really interested in a relationship, and whoever I went out with, I made it clear. Whenever they used the word date, I would say, no, we're just hanging out. So I wasn't leading them on to think that this was going to be something that was going to be continuous. I was saying openly from the start that, you know, I'm not really looking for a relationship. If it happens, it happens. But the only way I'm going to find that one, that energy that really truly connects with me, is if I get myself out there and I mingle amongst a lot of people. I'm not going to lead anyone, mislead anyone, but I do want to be able to be available to go out and hang out with whomever I want to without there being a major issue about who I'm going out with tonight, or why am I hanging out with so-and-so. So I was very particular about my word choices, and I was always clear about what I was doing. So I suggest, me personally, that you're very clear. If you're searching and you have, as Guy said, you don't have that one person that you're really interested in, because sometimes we sit back and admire people for a very long time before we approach them or they approach us. So if you don't have that kind of situation, I would say, you know, just be open about it.
Okay.
Any other comments? Any questions?
Can I ask the person who's asking the question a question?
Of course.
Have you been out yet? Have you tried to go out and do anything yet, or do you have someone in mind? Or
no, I haven't been out, and I don't have anyone in mind. I'm pretty timid, so I'm a little fearful. And I do have, I have a fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it makes it very difficult for me to approach people. I want to get out there, but I am scared. So
mm-hmm.
I did like your advice about, you know, joining different groups and things, because I think that might be an avenue that will be a little more comfortable for me. I'm not one that really likes to go to clubs and stuff, but I don't really know a whole lot of ways to meet people that are single. I know a lot of people that are with people, but they don't really have any single friends or anything.
Yeah, I think social media gets a lot of flack for being social media and people saying it's not a good place to meet anyone. But for all of those people who have bad situations, there are a lot of people who have really good situations as well that work out really well. So I recommend it. You find a group that appeals to you, and you might find a like-minded person in there, and just kind of, you know, feel your way. At some point, a lot of times conversation gets on, goes to dating or things like that, and you might just want to subtly put it out there, you know, yeah, while I'm looking, you know, something like that. You never know who will respond to that.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I'm willing to try.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's that toe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the biggest fear that we have is just what you said. You know, you have that fear of rejection. But, wow, think of how wonderful it could be. Just like you run the risk of being rejected, there is that chance of being accepted. And so it's a chance, you know, you're taking a chance, but we take all types of chances every day, numerous times a day. And sometimes we have to take a chance for us in a very spiritual and loving and personal way. We're not always willing to fight as hard and put our to work as strong and be as confident in finding a loving relationship that will last us a lifetime or one of our lifetimes, as we would put in going after that job. Some of the same people who are extremely timid with approaching someone else in a relationship are beast in business. I mean, absolute beast. And you could take some of that same confidence that you have with going for that position and that job and put some of that into meeting someone that can enhance your life and enhance all of those other wonderful things that you have going on, and someone to share all of those wonderful things that you have going on. You got a mojo. You just have to be willing to let it work.
Okay.
So, Sky, let's talk about some of the other things that will assist in confidence building and helping us get that mojo back and getting ourselves out there. And one of the things is let's talk about sprucing ourselves up and giving ourselves fresh new looks and take an interest in ourselves again, because sometimes when we're not in relationships, we just, you know, oversized clothes. We've been wearing stretch pants and waistbands, stretch waistbands for so long. we lost control of how much weight we were gaining while we were sitting there mm-hmm. watching all of these movies because we're, you know, or reading books because we're not doing anything else with anyone else. So, you know, we're sitting and we're alone and we're eating. Let's talk about that whole sprucing things up and getting a fresh new look because I saw a lot of that on the boat too.
Yeah, that is so true. That happens, and with yoga pants now, you know, so comfortable, you just have no idea, you know, sometimes that you've actually gained weight. But one of the things in the module in my program is you have to start dating yourself first, you know, and that leads to the authenticity about get to know yourself, get to like yourself, and get comfortable in yourself first. Because whatever stopped you from being out there, you know, like I said, you have to heal from that and start moving forward. Get into yourself a little bit more. Date yourself. Go out on your own. Get your nails done. Get your hair done. You know, just kind of look at yourself and until you start feeling that, you know, I look good, you know, kind of thing, and I feel good. And once you get to that place, it's going to be easier for you to get out there and meet and attract somebody else to you. But it has to start with you first. And that's what we talk about in my module. You have to get yourself, date yourself first, if that makes sense. And pamper yourself, go out and get things done. And then you'll find yourself starting to feel good and looking good. And that's going to reflect on the outside. And that's going to attract people to you. And you're going to feel more confident going out as well because you feel good.
Absolutely. One of the things I found most interesting on the boat, and it was, Sky, maybe you can help me out with this. It was coming more so from the older women on the boat than it was coming from the younger women. The older women were very, very particular about whether or not the women that they were attracting and looking at were fresh and new and had a style about themselves and had an elegance about themselves. I've never seen so many backward worn hats by 70 and 80 year old women in my life. I mean,
wow.
They were straight out hip hop, some of them. And it was like refreshing. At first, it was a little like, that doesn't look right. And then as I saw it more and more, it kind of like really fit their personality and their character, and they didn't overdo it. They were just keeping it extremely fresh and young and new. And I heard things like, you know, I don't want to, you know, their skin has to be tight. I mean, they were talking serious conversations that you think that you wouldn't hear from women of that age, but they were still as strong about appearances and whether or not the women were really taking good care of themselves and whether they were keeping it fresh. You know, they didn't want to see anybody in bell bottoms unless their thing was to look retro. You know, they were just like you're so out of style, and it was just amazing soaking in all of that stuff. So we want to put out there that it's very important that you continue, no matter what, whether you're in a relationship or not, you should always love on you. And that's all we're saying when we say you get a fresh look and you go out and you spruce things up. Always love on you, always. Never, ever stop loving yourself.
Yeah, you definitely have to love on you. And I'm trying to digest the individuals that you were talking about, 70 with a cap to the back. With that said, and saying that somebody has to be tight, you know, and you're 70 or 60, it's kind of like I don't want to get in the minds of women that you have to come outside of yourself and be something you're not because somebody thinks you need to be tight, you know. You just need to be who you are. You have women go through midlife crisis just like men do, and sometimes their expectations you know, are not realistic. I can't speak for these women because I don't know. But I've seen that too, in that a lot of women, and I'm just going to go there, I'm very femme, and I am attracted to aggressive women. And what I see is, you know, a lot of the more aggressive women are, to me, going through some type of midlife crisis, you know. And they're looking for women. They expect women to be perfect. And you can easily fall into this, oh, this is what I have to be because this is what they want me to be. And I encourage you to just be yourself, because that person who was for you will appreciate you just who you are. And you're not going to have to put on and be unnatural, you know, just because somebody else feels you should look a certain way. So, again, be authentic, be who you are. Of course, you need to spruce yourself up. At any age, you take care of yourself, and that will be projected out to others that will be attracted to you. So just be yourself, spruce yourself out, go out there. Your person is going to appreciate you just for who you are.
Hear, hear. Well, when the person made the statement to me, Sky, what I said to them was, you know, at the end of the day, all of the stuff that you're talking about, at some point in time or another, is going to change. Even if you can keep it tight, it still doesn't look like it's 20. And, you know, and are you only looking for outer things about a woman without any concerns of her inner self? Because there can be some very beautiful women on the inside that you're rejecting simply because they look as old as you do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to be young, but you want them to look young. And you know, you're going to run into that. You're going to run into all types, which is why Sky and I will tell you, date, hang out, and get to know people, because eventually they will become comfortable, and eventually they will reveal themselves to you. So take your time. There's no rush. Do not rush into a relationship because you feel like you haven't been in one for a very long time. Don't rush into a relationship because you're feeling lonely. All of those are things that will bring you a lot of heartache, because you're moving, you're going to move too fast, and you're not going to be able to see everything. It's going to be passing by you swiftly. And that's not what we're advocating that you do. And by no means was I telling anyone to not be themselves, because I'm 100% behind being authentic. And if there is someone who is bold enough to tell you that you don't have the look, they're lost. And don't take it personal, because it's really not about you. It's really about them. Whenever people are telling you negative things about yourself, they're not talking about you. They're talking about them. Because they don't know you well enough to be able to talk to you about you. So you don't absorb that. You don't take any of that stuff in. You let them move on with that bag themselves. Don't even pick it up and carry it. It's not yours. Your name is not on it. No matter how many times they try to write it on there, that's not your bag. And don't you carry it. We are all beautiful, all of us. And it takes a very, very special person to see the beauty in you without taking in your outer shell. You want to be seen for you. Not for what, but for you. Because life is funny and things happen and things change on a dime, on the spin. So if they're breaking you down like that, hey, you can walk away from that. That's not for you in the first place. And let's talk a little bit about, or talk a little
to those who have lost partners, and which can be a heavy topic, and struggle with letting go of the individual when they're stepping back into the whole dating arena. In search of the individual instead of the attributes that the individual had, because you're not going to find your partner again. You're not going to find her. There will not be anyone who will be her, but you can find someone that has those attributes that she had. You're being unfair to yourself, trying to find her again, and you're being unfair to anyone who could give you love and be there for you, because you won't find her. You can search all over. You won't find her. Don't take yourself through that. And I don't know if Sky will agree with me on this or if she'll give you something that you can take away that differs from what I'm saying. But your partner, each and every one of us is a one-of-a-kind masterpiece, each and every one of us. We have a lot of similarities. There are things that make us the same, but there's always that one thing that was given unto us that makes us different. So you won't find another one like that. You can find things that are close. You can find attributes. But her, only one was made.
Yeah.
So we have
to,
Go ahead, Sky.
Yeah, it's very emotional for me right now because that's the situation I'm in, and it's true. I look for her. I compare everybody to her. And what I'm grappling with right now is, and I know I have to stop, but it's not easy. I'm sorry, she just had her anniversary of her death a couple of days ago. But
okay. It's okay. At the end of the day, all we want to make real for everyone out there who is afraid of actually getting back into dating is that, you know, the first step is to get into that boat. You know, in order for that boat to move, you have to untie it from the dock. And then once it's moving, you need to have the desire to control the direction it's going in. And so you got to pick up that paddle, and you have to move it from one side to the other so that you can keep the boat straight and you can move somewhere, and you're not just going in circles. You're not going in circles. And we know that it is not 100% easy, but the hardest part that you're going to have to do is actually just stepping into the boat. And the least amount of stuff you bring with you on that boat, the easier it will be to stay afloat. So you got to forgive yourself of all of the stuff in the past. You have to let go of some of those things that are in the past. And by no means am I telling anyone to let go of their partner. That would be so far from what I'm trying to say. I'm simply saying let go of thinking that you're going to find her in someone else.
That goes back to taking time to heal. That has to happen first before you can jump out there. But whatever the situation, be it a partner who died or a bad breakup, until that happens, you're gonna put it on the next situation. If you had a bad breakup, you're gonna look for those things in the other person. You're gonna project things on that person if you haven't healed. If your partner passed, as in my case and what's happening with me, I know one of the things, and they say you don't appreciate what you have until it's gone. And the one thing about her is her consistency. She was very consistent. I mean, extremely consistent. And when I'm talking to people now and I don't see that, it is infuriating to me because, you know, I got that from her. So I'm looking for it, you know, in them. And so I have to constantly remind myself, okay, this is not her. You know, they're not going to be, you know, they're not terrible, but they're just not doing something like she did it. So I have to be fair. Because it's not fair to put that on the individual because they're a totally different person. So that goes back to the healing. That goes back to letting go of things. And so, again, that has to happen first. You might want to jump back in. It might not be time. You might not be ready. So you have to go back in and do some more work and focus on that and let that move through you before you can go out there and get someone else for it to succeed.
Absolutely. I think yesterday I put out a slight article because sometimes I like to prep us so that we'll be ready to talk. And I put out these three words, you know, decide, commit, and succeed. And as Guy just finished stating, you know, that healing, within that healing, only you and only you know when you're ready to move forward, to bring someone else into your life or even to start looking to bring someone in your life. But that has to be a conscious decision that you're making. Because if you're not ready, you won't be able to commit to it. If you can't commit to it, you won't succeed at it. Those words are kind of interconnected in order to keep it fluid. You know, you have to make conscious decisions to make to do things. You have to commit to those things that you've decided you're going to do. And once you do those things, you'll be successful at it. And relationships need those things. They need decisions to be made. They need you to commit to those decisions that you've made, and you will succeed every time. And Sky's big thing is that you're not just looking for love. You're looking to live this love for an eternity. And love continues on when we're no longer here, because it gets carried with and through others. So it never actually ceases, which is why it's so difficult when you have a loss, whether it's a death or the loss of a relationship. That's why it's so difficult to let go, because energy connects, and it's sticks, person that you had that bond with, your energy and their energy was just circular. It was just flowing in and out of you, and that energy kind of stuck. That's why sometimes when people go away, you can still smell them. You can walk into a room, and if the perfume that they wore, it will bring back all of those memories. Because it sticks. So there is no expectation that you will ever forget about the people that were a part of your life that you loved and you loved deeply. Your healing process is all about knowing that you love them and you love them deeply. And you will always love them. And maybe someday you can have someone else to love and someone else to love you. It may not be as grand as the love that you had. And it doesn't even necessarily mean that it will be secondary to it. It will just be a new kind of love for you. And it will be a different love for you. But it will be love just the same. And you deserve that. And you, my friend Sky, I pray for you on a regular basis because you deserve that love. And I know how hard it is for you. And I'm sure everyone on the line has had some type of loss in their lives. And they understand. And they may not understand it the way that you understand it, but they've experienced a loss of some sort. And we're here with you, and we love you. And I most of all appreciate the fact that you're even so open and you would open yourself up and share that.
Thank you.
Because you could help someone else to heal by them hearing you share that about yourself. Any other questions or statements out there?
Hello?
Yeah.
I've got a question, and it kind of seems kind of out of place with what you guys are talking about right now, but I'm just really curious to know if you or your host have tried any of the online dating services, and if you did, how that worked out, and if you haven't, is it something that you would recommend?
You mean the ones where you do the questionnaires and they match you up?
Right.
I've not tried those. But I know people who have. I know a couple that met that way, and they've been together for, I think, going on 6 years now. I think it is six. They celebrated their fifth. I've not gone that route, but it's again, like anything else, you have your good and bad in anything. It's worth a try, I would think, if that's where you're led. Like I said, some people, social media, is another way, or just going out through your church or something like that. Whatever feels right for you, I recommend you go ahead and do it. You just be careful and selective, and know, meeting somebody, you take care in doing that, that you're not alone. Those kind of things. But whatever resonates with you, whatever your move to do, I recommend you go ahead and do that as long as you're careful.
Right. And also remember in that, I've never done it. I'm like Sky. I've never tried that. Because for me, it's scientific, and it's a system that's weeding
and matching based on whatever you fill out in your questionnaire. And my reason for never doing it is because I'm very skeptical of not being able to see a person when they're talking to me, or in my case, being able to hear a person when they're talking so that I can discern. So I'm more of a hands-on kind of individual when it comes to love. I want to be able to see you. I want to be able to watch, you know, your body language and watch if you're tense when we're together or when you relax, or see that breakthrough for us. I'm more of that kind of person as opposed to having someone scientifically picked out for me. And not that it's not for other people. It's just not for me. But I do know people that it has worked for, and they've been. I have a friend is 20 years. They paid to go on sites and had people, you know, had a list of people that they went through that was sent back to them. This is the person, and they had them like 99%, you know, and on down. And they've been together for 20 years, so it does work. If that's something that you would be interested in, it does work. So, and, you know, you have people who have wonderful stories about it, and you have people who have, you know, bad stories, like Sky said. You know, it's a half a dozen one way and six on the other. So you just never know. I would say exhaust all of your avenues. You have nothing actually to lose. By exhausting every avenue that you could have. Friends having functions. You can even ask some friends, you know, if they know any people that are single. Be wary of that, though, because I've had some really interesting hookups from friends that I had to ask, do you know me? But I say exhaust every avenue you have. Any other questions, any statements, anyone have anything that they may want to add to the subject matter, any subjects outside of the topic that we're talking about tonight?
I don't have any questions, but I do have a comment. I listen to the show pretty well much every week, and I think you and Sky and you had a couple other co-hosts, I think you guys are awesome, and I just want to say thank you for sharing. And tonight I would like to personally say to Sky that, you know, I really appreciate you being willing to open yourself up, and I hurt for you, but I will pray with you, because in all the conversations I've heard as I listen to you, it does sound to me as though you are a very strong woman, but even being strong, sometimes you need people to lean on and people to stand with you. And I just want to say thank you to you. And, you know, again, I'm hurting for you right now, but I know with prayer and with good people around you that I believe are probably around you, things will get better for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're certainly
welcome. Amen. Amen. I'm in agreement of all of that. Amen. Yeah. Mm. Well, Sky, I've been hearing you talk about your modules. If you would put your information out there for the listeners, because they can join you in your sessions and gain a little bit more from you in what you do and in your vocation.
I will. I'll do that. I'll put it out there. But again, my demographic that I speak to are women 40 plus, and this program is called Finding Your Flow. It's not a new program. I did it about 4 years ago. And we just kind of refreshed it, and we're doing it again because we're seeing a need. And the women that we coach and that we talk to, we're seeing a need for that. There's so much going on right now with women of our demographic, struggling with jobs and caring for elderly parents and illness and just all kind of things going on. And so this program seems to be resonating with a lot of women. So I'll put it out there. And if anybody's interested, you know, just give us a call to get more information.
Again, I want to say thank you to my co-host, Guy Vaughn, and thank you to everyone who's dialed in tonight and those of you who participated. As always, we give you nothing but love, and we keep it all straight and candid. Continue to love yourself and continue to teach others how you want to be loved. Everyone have a great and wonderful night, and it was wonderful being back.
Thank you, and welcome again. Come back.